How's the Friday group?
Could be better.
It's good? Yeah, I know what you mean. How are we doing? What do we got? Mike, you to lead off there? Oh, go ahead.
Fridays have always, I think, been a big situational day for you and for the team as you kind of go over different situations. And there's been so much talk about that at the beginning of the NFL season. I'm just wondering how important Fridays and Saturday walkthroughs are for kind of reminding your players of situations at the end of games.
Not just at the end of games, all through the game. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we kind of start with a basic progression, you know, early downs, first and second down, building a third down, red area, goal line, short yardage, end of the game situations, other situations that, you know, come up, and same thing in the kicking game, you know, punt return, kickoff return. You know, sprinkle in the field goal rush, and then towards the end of the week get into specific kicking game situations. So, you know, it's all just part of the progression each week. Yeah. So I think it's an important part, obviously, of the game, but that's sort of how we handle it, try to get through all the basic stuff first and then, you know, move to more situations, whether it be third down, red area, goal line, and then some kind of, you know, one play type situations, onside kick or fourth and goal or, you know, whatever it happens to be.
The onside kick in the Rams game, I'm wondering if you saw that.
I did.
At the very end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the rule is if it hit the ground first, then you can't fair catch. But if it's up in the air, you can fair catch. How much, as a coach, do you rely on the player's instinct to be aware or read that situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's, you know, those are things that you start with in training camp. You go over, first of all, you know, basic fundamentals. Then you go over rules, and then you go over situations. Which sometimes rules are part of the situation. Sometimes they're not, you know, whether to stay in bounds, whether to go out of bounds, whether to, you know, that type of thing. So it's all part of it. It's all part of the conversation, knowing the rules. And playing within the rules and knowing the situation and playing the situation to our best advantage. And that's starts back in training camp. We go through a period of training camp where we don't really get into a lot of detail on that. And we gradually build on it. But then as we get into the last couple weeks of training camp, like the Saints was a good opportunity for us to get a lot of situation work down there against them. The following week against Carolina, you know, we were able to build on that. So we built into those situational plays, and a lot of them came up in those games, actually, the halftime and the game situations in our preseason games. There were some good learning situations there that we were able to talk about and build on, not just what we faced, but had we been on the other side of the ball, how we would have played on, what we'd be thinking, what our calls would be. So, yeah, that's just all, sure, it's, look, you go out there, you can play for, you know, 59-plus minutes, and it all comes down to one play or one situation, and whoever handles that situation better could end up being the victor. So they're critical. You just don't know which ones are going to come up. You don't know the exact circumstances of it, but you try to cover your bases the best you can.
Bill, you guys acquired Keyshawn Martin, receiver from the Texans. So what does he have going for him as a player?
Oh, he has some experience. He's played, say, multiple positions in an offense similar to ours, inside, outside, return kickoffs. So that's involved in the kicking game. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
How much was his punt return? I know you mentioned kickoffs. How much was his punt return experience part of that picture that had you guys interested in him?
We'll see. You know, we'll see. We've had pretty good production from our returners, our punt returners. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, he returned kickoffs well against us, where it was a couple of years ago. Yeah. So, and in other games as we get ready for him. So, I know he hasn't done as much of that lately, but, I mean, we'll see. I don't know.
So, when you're evaluating a guy like Geno Grissom coming out of college, let's assume that you make the decision that if you get him, you're going to play him on the line. How much weight do you carry to his maybe senior year game pick when they had moved him to linebacker compared to the first 3 years when he had played on the line?
Those are good questions, and they're the questions that we have to answer. You know, that's the reality of it. You take what you have, and then you try to figure it out the best you can. So in Geno's case, he played four technique his junior year, and then he played some as an edge rusher in passing situations as defensive end. Then his senior year, he played more as an outside linebacker, and then he played both inside and outside because they have two other good pass rushers there, and so he was kind of the guy that got kicked inside on a lot of those sub situations and played actually over the guard or in a three technique. So, you know, he'd done a lot of different things. I think, you know, when you look at a player like that, you think, okay, what do we want him to do? How does he do that? Maybe other things you can use, maybe you can't, but, you know, how's he going to do on the things that we want him to do? Goes back to, you know, a guy we talked about a little earlier this year, McGinnis. You know, when you watch Willie play his senior year at USC, he played defensive end, he played defensive tackle, he played up, he played down, he played middle linebacker in one game. I can remember him being the Mike linebacker. We didn't really envision him in that position, but, you know, it spoke to his versatility and his athleticism to be able to do that. But they were trying to move him around, create different matchups, not let the offense key on him and so forth. And so Coach Robinson used him in a lot of different spots. I think, you know, some of those for us, we would, I mean, I was at Cleveland at the time, but, you know, we kind of would discard and say, okay, well, we're not going to use him there. But, you know, there are things that you see a player do in a different position that you recognize athletically, you know, he can run or he can take on blocks or he can cover a seam route or, you know, whatever it is. And maybe there's some application to other positions for that. So, and sometimes you look at a guy play a position that's totally different. Like a guy like Edelman, the position he played in college is, you know, not one that we would want to play him at. So it's almost a total projection. So there's, and they're all in between.
The defense shows what it's trying to do or lines up late, like in the play clock. Is there a way to combat that, or as an offense, typically do you have to wait to see where they're going to be first before you decide what to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think just it becomes a cat and mouse game. You know, if you go quick, then if they wait to stem, sometimes they wait too long and the ball's already snapped. If, you know, you go late, then they have time to do that. If you mix it up, then it's a cat and mouse game. You know, do you want to stem late, but they might go quick, or do you want to show it early, but now they go on a longer count and so forth? I mean, there's, you know, and that's where good instinctive players can, whether it be on the offensive side of the ball or defensive side of the ball, or it could be the punt team and the punt rush team, it's all the same, really. It's just kind of that timing element. There are some players that have a real good feel for that, guys like Polamalu, Rodney Harrison. You know, there'd be times that those guys line up on the line of scrimmage like they're going to safety blitz and they'd be in a deep half on the other side of the field. But if the quarterback's in a quick count, they kind of could sense that and they'd get out of there. And if the quarterback was going to try to read it out, they'd stay there and then right at the end, you know, bail, and, you know, they would be checking into a play for one defense, but they were actually in a totally different defense. You know, so there's some guys that are really, really good at that. Other guys, you know, quarterback, same thing. They can see whatever the key is and they don't really care where some guys are, or maybe they get fooled by somebody that's really out of position, but it shouldn't matter. So, but the cadence and the disguise and all that, it's all part of it, just like, you know, shifting and motion and defensive stemming and disguising. I mean, it's all just part of the, you know, keeping the other side of the ball off balance, but being able to do it in a way that you can actually execute what you're trying to do. It doesn't do any good to disguise something and not be able to, you know, get to the guy you're supposed to cover or get to the gap you're responsible for or block the guy you're supposed to block if you just, you know, you fool them, but you can't execute your assignment. So there's that balance.
Bill, how much does the return of LeGarrette Blount to the lineup, how much does that help the offense?
It's good to have him back. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
What kind of wrinkles would you say he adds? Just his style.
He's been a productive back for us. I mean, we've all seen him run. He's got good size, good speed, can make people miss. He's a productive guy, catch a ball. So he has a lot of skills.
Defensive line, if not the best, maybe one of the better units in the NFL.
Yeah, one of the best and one of the highest paid. I mean, a lot of big contracts on that, you know, all four guys. So it's kind of unusual to see that, you know, all on one line on one team. But they're they're really good players. You know, so.
When you have several young guys on the offensive line, would you say a matchup like this is maybe a good measuring stick, you know, at this point in the season to see maybe where they're...
I mean, look, we see good players every week. I mean, saw good players last week, see good players this week, see good players next week. I mean, this isn't like college, you know, where you play down a couple levels in your schedule. This is every week. Good players, good coaches, good teams, good schemes. Every week, there's good players out there every week.
Is Darius's pass rushing ability just as good as his? I mean, he gets so much attention for being a big body in the middle, but he's also one of the, I guess, rare types that with that big body can get upfield and get after the quarterback.
Yeah, very athletic. Got good quickness, good playing strength. He's a smart player, too. He's instinctive. He makes a lot of plays on reading blocks, anticipating blocks, or anticipating a certain set, or, you know, that type of thing. So, he has it all. He's big, he's strong, he's explosive, he's powerful, he runs well, he's athletic, he's got good balance, good quickness, and he's a smart player. So, you put it all together, it's, you know, that's why he's one of the best players in the league. I mean, they've invested a lot in that defensive line, and they have a good one. I'm probably as good as anything in the league. I wouldn't argue that.
Going back to Keyshawn Martin, I know you factor in everything, you know, scouting him coming out of Michigan State and then watching him in the pros. How much, not to put percentage on it, but how much did you weigh the scouting, you know, coming out of Michigan State versus what you've seen in that NFL and the relationships you have in Houston to ask him, you know, hey, what type of guy is he, and stuff like that, you know, when you're making that move?
Yeah, I'd say in this particular case, it's all been pretty consistent. I mean, I think what we've seen from Keyshawn over the last, call it maybe 6 years, you know, college to his pro career, it's all been pretty consistent. You know, so it isn't like it's been a, you know, a big roller coaster ride in any area. So I think he's, you know, what he was in college and how he's performed in the NFL has all been, you know, pretty consistent. So I think that's, you know, makes it a relatively easy evaluation of the player. And he's young, you know, so age isn't really a big factor here. Or injuries, you know, for that matter. I mean, it's just the way he's played has been, you know, go back to last year's preseason games, last year's regular season games, this year's preseason, kind of the comments we had coming out of Michigan State, you know, it's all, I'd say, pretty consistent.
Is his speed one of his best assets?
I mean, I think he has a lot of good skills. I wouldn't say necessarily that, you know, he's going to be the fastest player in the league. I'm not saying that. But, yeah, I'd say he runs well.
Your final question?
Bill, is it possible to I know injuries are unpredictable, but is it possible to measure injury risk like a punt returner returning a punt versus a wide receiver taking a normal snap?
I wish I knew the answer to that question. If I did, I'd be a lot better off. We see guys coming out of college that have never been hurt, and, you know, they're hurt. We see guys coming out of college that have been had injuries in college and don't get hurt. We see guys that have played for a team and been injured and go somewhere else in free agency and never get vice versa. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know. Are some guys more prone than others? I mean, yes, but can you really quantify that? You know, no. Some guys, you think, you know, do everything they can. Every indicator you have says that they're as healthy as they're going to be. They have good flexibility. They have good strength. They have good balance. They have good everything. And sometimes, you know, they end up, I mean, it's, I don't know. You can't take out insurance. So just got to go out there and play and, you know, whatever happens, happen. I think, you know, I think you can measure how players deal with injuries. I think you can measure that. You can, some guys deal with things differently than others do. I'm not saying that, but can you predict who's going to get a high ankle, who's going to get a shoulder, who's going to get a, you know, break a bone? I mean, I don't know how you measure that. Wish I did. All right. Thank you.